Right, yeah.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful thing.
Right,
mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Yep, sound good.
Oh yeah, yeah, you sound much better this week.
All right.
I had to turn up the sound on you a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, episode 21.
Yes.
Where was I going with this? Frank, as usual.
Yep, Devin here.
Man, let's just get right into it, because...
Are we starting out with the football?
Yeah, we got to.
Yeah, we got to.
We could just totally skip over the Baltimore-Tennessee game.
This guy.
We just let it go. I've already moved on.
You don't want to dive back into that emotion.
I really don't want to, bro. Like, we was just talking about God of War, that game is doing the same thing to me right now as we speak.
What other game did you watch? The San Francisco game?
No, nigga, I didn't watch shit. I was done after Saturday night. I was like, fuck this.
So did you watch the first Saturday morning game?
I watched some of it, but I was at work for I want to say like the first quarter.
Okay.
So when I left work, it was tied 7-7. But then when I got I was riding home, and then I heard on the radio there was like 14-7.
Oh, I got you.
So I'm like, all right, you know, I'll peek in on it a little bit here and there. And then I got home, and I think I just hopped on Red Dead. And I didn't hop on Red Dead. I got sidetracked. I had to go save one of our sisters.
Oh.
So she got a flat. So I had to go help her with that. And I thought at the time, I'm like, all right, I'm going to go help her. It's going to be some good juju. It's going to bring some good energy to me. No, nigga. Didn't bring my team shit.
That's hilarious.
I'm not saying it was bad luck, but it wasn't good luck. So I helped her with that and then came home. And then chill for a little bit, and then that was when you came over to watch the game. And then Sunday, I didn't watch none of it. I was done.
You didn't watch none of the
games? None, bro. I was done. Oh, I didn't watch none of it.
You missed an exciting
thing. I played a lot of Red Dead this past weekend. Because, I'm in the epilogue part of it, so I'm past, like, the main story mode.
Right.
I know you just started, so I won't tell you nothing. Because there's a really cool part of the game that when the epilogue starts and you're like, oh, okay, this is cool. So I won't ruin that part of it. And I know you couldn't tell when you just saw me playing earlier. So I've been playing a lot of the epilogue after the main story part of it is done, because there's still a whole lot of shit that I didn't get to do within the main story portion of it. Like, I still haven't found all the legendary animals.
Right.
I did do the legendary fish. There's 13 of those. But then... I can't ruin that one for you either, but
we'll come back to it.
But when you get like closer to the end and when you finish that, we'll come back. So I spent a lot of time playing that, and I peeked in on my phone the score of the KC Houston game, and I saw Houston was up 21-0 in the first quarter, and I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Like, is this gonna be the weekend of upsets? Like, this is not supposed to be happening right now.
I think I was doing the same exact thing.
Yeah, and then at the same time, I'm like, we was just talking about Andy Reid and how I don't trust Andy Reid in the playoffs, bro, you know? And so, but the thing for me is I kind of want to see Patrick Mahomes succeed. I think he's a good kid. I would like to see Andy Reid succeed.
I would too.
Like, considering how he got screwed in Philly by New England cheating. And speaking of cheating, we'll get into something about that later. Yeah. We got another topic to discuss on that, but I would like to see Andy Reid win a ring. Yep. I think it would really cement his Hall of Fame
career
as a coach.
He's been an excellent coach.
Absolutely. He's a great offensive mind.
Yeah.
He had really good success with Brett Favre when he was in Green Bay.
Yep.
As an offensive coordinator, I believe, for a little while. And then he had good success with multiple quarterbacks in Philly.
Yep.
I mean, he had Donovan McNabb. He had Kevin Kolb, he had Mike Vick. Did he have Vick for a little while? Was that Vick?
It was Vick who had Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Andy Reid was there till like, what, 2012?
Yeah, because they just replaced him with Doug Peterson.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So he was there for a while.
So, yeah, so he's had success with a lot of different quarterbacks, a lot of different style of quarterbacks, and I've always just been a pretty big fan of Andy Reid. So, yeah, I would like to see him succeed and win something.
Exciting offense when he's, you know,
coaching. Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's always a fun team to watch when he's coaching.
Absolutely. So. And he obviously knows what he's doing with his scouting department, too, because let's not forget, Mitchell Trubisky went before Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
So, shouts out to the Bears for that one. Come on now.
Right.
Both of those quarterbacks were in the playoffs, which is funny to see.
Yeah.
It's also kind of funny to see, real quick side note, how much hate Lamar Jackson got Monday morning by a lot of the sports media. And at the same time, it's like, you know, well, why don't we compare him to the other quarterbacks in his draft class and their playoff success? Oh, wait.
Yeah.
The only quarterback in his draft class who has even made the playoffs was Josh Allen, who just did it for the first time this year. Josh Rosen, he ain't even sniffed the playoffs. Baker Mayfield ain't sniffed the playoffs.
Josh Rosen being...
Sam Darnold ain't sniffed the playoffs. No, I don't think he has.
No, I mean, so.
Uh-uh.
Anyways.
I don't think Josh Rosen has been on a team that's won more than, what did the Dolphins win, five games?
I was going
to
say.
Yeah, and he's not contributed to any of those Dolphins wins. All of those Dolphins wins came with Ryan Fitzpatrick as quarterback. And then he only managed three. So he has three wins in his NFL career.
Crazy.
Lamar Jackson has three losses in the regular season in his NFL career so far. So for people to say that he was exposed, or for that somehow, some reason, he's going to regress, those are just people who are not watching
media,
football.
Man.
Yeah, it's the easy popular thing to say, and it's, you know, for some reason we live in a society that likes to kick people when they're down. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, he played his worst game at the worst time.
Yeah,
the whole team did.
It happens.
And it happens. It's happens. The NFL, yeah, exactly. You know?
It happens.
Peyton Manning has a 41-0 loss on his playoff record.
Ask Tom Brady about that, undefeated all the way until...
Exactly, you know, until the Super Bowl. Moment, you know, absolutely. So nobody questioned whether Tom Brady was going to bounce back.
It happens. So,
so that's just a total side note, but I saw that the comeback started.
Yeah,
and then I got deep into Red Dead again, and then all of a sudden I hopped back on Bleacher Report, and I'm like, 41-21? What the fuck? Like, literally, they put up 41 unanswered, and then I'm like, okay, well, there's no point in watching the game now because it went from not being a game to not being a game in another direction.
Right,
exactly. So I had no interest in that.
The Seattle game, though, man, that was a good one.
I kind of didn't want to watch that one simply because I was hoping if I didn't watch it, Seattle would win.
No.
I'm weird like that. I don't know.
Bringing bad luck onto the team.
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes, because I was like, it's my vibes
one,
are not good
I
right
liked
now.
I watching that one mainly. Well, I mean, none of them I really cared to who won, but I really didn't really care who won that one. So
I did, only because part of me wanted to see Seattle and San Francisco in the NFC title game again, because I don't think San Francisco could have beat them twice. I think that those games were so physical, so draining, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
definitely.
So mentally tough, that I just wonder if Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco could have done it. You know, played that team three times.
Yeah,
it's very difficult to play a team three times and then to have to beat them twice. And this time now it's a trip to the Super Bowl. That's
bottom
tough.
The line, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, when they've been on the streak, because, you know, technically you were off a week.
Right.
You won a game.
Right.
They already won two. You know what I mean?
Right.
They've been winning. You know what I mean? So it's,
yeah, they've been able to keep that momentum.
Yeah, exactly. You
which
know,
is why I think all the teams that had a bye came out slow last weekend.
I mean, you've seen it.
Baltimore came out slow.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco came out slow. I mean, they scored first, but Minnesota came right back and scored again and had it tied up 7-7 before, you know, San Francisco got it rolling.
Yeah, KC came out very
KC came
so
out and got maddened.
Yeah, straight up 21 skunk.
I mean, they got maddened.
House,
that game's over.
Yeah,
it's immediate. Yeah,
exactly.
You immediately take that L. Because you're not even coming back from shit like that in a video game. It's just not happening.
Yeah.
I don't know how Green Bay came out. I don't know if they came out slow or it sounds like they obviously needed a Rodgers immaculate type game to ultimately win it and put the game away.
For sure.
And
their defense made some plays too.
Finally.
Yeah, stopping Wilson. So
finally.
But it was a decent game, but
considering especially with Seattle, I mean,
then it came
where were they
like
down to running backs they signed off the street?
Yeah, exactly. Literally. Going back to, you know, a few years back.
Yeah, I mean, they tried to bring some magic back, if anything, and sometimes it just doesn't happen. Sometimes it's just not enough. Sometimes you beat yourself up so much during the year that you cost yourself a real chance in the playoffs because you literally have nothing left in the tank.
I mean, that's like one thing that, like, the NFL, you never really get, like, a rest. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, even a bye week's not really a bye week.
Like, unless, like, you smash through your year.
Right.
But even then, you're getting what, maybe the last 2 weeks.
Well, the thing about
season
it
to rest, maybe, you know what I mean.
So, yeah, and the NFL though, like
you don't ever get like a rest type thing. So it's always, and you get riddled injuries so much.
Oh, easily,
it's so much.
I mean, and the thing about it's like it 100%
too is rate of
injury. It's also very much about your momentum. It's very much about like huge. Getting rest, but at the same time. Still staying playing, yeah,
exactly. Like staying in the groove.
So I think that's what's interesting too. It's and it's funny too because you know you had a lot of people that talked about you know resting players in week 17 and you know how that's what hurt you and now you've got rust and this that and the other. But at the same time, then why are the best teams in the league rewarded for having the best record in the league?
Right. Yeah.
Like by giving like them a bye week, it doesn't. You know.
Curse. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't really
because you have that week off, but then if you don't play well, they blame the fact that you had the week off for why you didn't play well. It can't be just that you didn't play well. Right. It has to be because you had a bye week that's the reason why you didn't play well. And that's not always the case, man. It's really not. But it does make for an interesting championship weekend.
Yeah.
Tennessee's just on a roll.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, that happens a lot in the NFL. Where you get hot at the right time, things start clicking at the right time, you gain confidence at the right time, and you just start playing really well.
Knock out some wins.
I mean, it happened with the Giants.
Yeah.
The year they beat the undefeated Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
Because they lost to them week 16 of that regular season. They lost to New England, and then they won week 17 and then got into the playoffs, got on a roll, came back, got another shot at New England. And they ended up beating them. They got hot at the right time.
Right.
I think when Philly won the Super Bowl that year with Nick Foles instead of Carson Wentz, they got hot at the right time.
That's absolutely that.
Of course. And so it'll be interesting. I personally think it's probably going to end up being San Francisco and Kansas City.
Yeah.
Those are the safe picks.
Yeah, most likely scenario.
However, I do feel like if Tennessee can do the same thing that they did to Baltimore and they can do the same thing that they did to New England, and that's slow the game down to their tempo and just let them be able to run Derrick Henry and run the clock, and it does put a lot of pressure on the other team. And if you're – I mean, with New England, they just came up against an offense that just couldn't put up points.
No.
But that's been New England for a little while. New England has rode the success of their defense.
Yeah, they don't have a good –
they came up against Baltimore, and Baltimore shot themselves in the foot.
That's the thing about Tennessee, though.
And they took advantage of it.
I think Tennessee, I don't know if they're hot. Like, if they're like they played really well, don't get me wrong, against Baltimore. But I'm not so sold on them. Like, even if Kansas City did what they did against Houston, if they can get it going, they can absolutely still do it.
Oh, absolutely. But that's because Kansas City plays a different style.
Baltimore could have did that. I think just Baltimore just made too many mistakes.
And I think that
really lost the game to
them. My biggest thing with Baltimore, too, is that they did not stick with their game plan. They didn't stick with what got them there. Lamar Jackson attempted 59 passes. They abandoned the run game way too soon, and they didn't need to. When you are averaging 5-plus yards a carry with Mark Ingram, averaging 5-plus yards a carry with Gus Edwards, and averaging 7 yards a carry with Lamar Jackson, and his ability to explode for 20 yards in the snap of a finger, their run game, to me, is just as quick strike and deadly as a 30-yard bomb would be in Kansas City's offense. But if they abandon that, then what do you do?
Right.
Because now you've become one-dimensional. So now they're not even worried about the threat of the run.
So it just didn't make sense. They just didn't do their thing.
So. It just didn't make sense. And that's why, to me, I also have a beef
but that's
with...
that's why I think that they really don't have a chance to beat... And that's Kansas
Tennessee.
City. Yeah, unless Kansas City just comes out and puts up just a stinker. You know what I mean? Where they're just... make every mistake possible.
Which I don't think that they will.
No,
I think this is that year where everything's finally going to click.
With Houston, you know what I mean? I think that...
And New England last year in the AFC title game, don't forget.
Right.
You know, that one came down to overtime, and I think that they've got another year better. And the thing is, too, is, you know, let's not discount the fact that for as much as Lamar Jackson did in the regular season, that was still his first year as a starter. First full year as a starter. Patrick Mahomes last year, got to the AFC title game in his first full year as a starter. Mm-hmm. There's times where I think that, especially in the NFL, you have to go through those rings of fire and those trials and tribulations to know how to win a football game. I think that the game of football is on the professional level is one of the hardest games to get a win. Because it is so physical, it is so physically taxing, it is so mentally taxing that over 60 minutes, all you are trying to do is impose your will on another grown man who is trying to impose their will on you. Mm-hmm. Period. Basketball is not like that. And I mean physically impose their will. Exactly. Like basketball is not like that. You know, the closest game that might be like that might be hockey.
Yeah.
Because of the level of physicality, you know. But there's no other sport that's like that.
Like contact.
Every single play. Yeah, every single play. So I think that that's what it is. I think that there's a certain level of learning curve that has to come with it.
It's all about experience, you know what I mean?
So I think that it'll be exciting. I do think that this is the year Patrick Mahomes finally
gets
to the Super Bowl. Yeah. I'm not gonna crown them Super Bowl champs. No. Because I think that whether they play Green Bay or whether they play San Francisco, it's going to be a shootout.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's going to be a good game regardless.
Because with San Francisco, they're coming up against the best defense left in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And with Green Bay, they're coming up against the best, I don't want to say the best quarterback in the playoffs because Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback, but legacy-wise.
Right.
career-wise, left in the playoffs is Aaron Rodgers,
absolutely, hands down.
So I think that that's why if it were to come down to Kansas City and either of those teams, I think I might be interested in watching the Super Bowl just to see what happens. Because I think if it's San Francisco, that defense is going to be tested.
Yeah, against that offense, yeah, it's going to be a good
absolutely.
Matchup.
And I think that if there's any indication that San Francisco's defense is vulnerable, Kansas City is going to watch the Saints game.
Yeah.
The Saints may have lost that football game, but they put up 45 points in that game on San Francisco's defense. So
we'll see.
They can be scored on and they can be tested. And if anybody's got the weapons like New Orleans has, Kansas City's got them and then some.
Yeah, exactly.
Because New Orleans, it's like you got Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
You got a couple of other guys that can, you know, correct.
Yeah.
With Kansas City, you got Jamal Williams, Damian Williams, LaShawn McCoy. Let's not forget about him. And then you still have Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins.
Exactly.
I mean, you've got an offense that's completely loaded. Ironically, with two players who Buffalo let go.
Yeah, Sammy Watkins.
Sammy Watkins and LaShawn McCoy.
Yeah, LaShawn McCoy.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, especially LaShawn McCoy. He had a great, like, not great, but he had really good years.
He had a decent preseason.
Mm-hmm. So I don't
They decided to go with Frank Gore. It is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is.
But
even
good teams always have good players fall in their lap somehow, some way, though.
I don't know. Yeah, definitely. Especially, definitely.
Somehow, some way.
It just happens.
So, and I think that their defense is going to have to play really well. Mm-hmm. But they've got, you know, Tyrann Mathieu, who's playing really well.
It's just interesting to see like a refreshing like set of teams.
Just say it, nigga. It's nice to see the Super Bowl not have the Patriots in it, bro. Just say it.
Well, not even like New Orleans. You know, you always see them getting close to the NFC.
They always get close,
you
but they are cursed right
title
now.
Game, so.
They are cursed right now. They hit that moment where they lost in the divisional round to Minnesota on a last second play. Then they lost to the Rams in the NFC title game on a last second play. And then they lose to Minnesota again in the divisional round in overtime. And it's just one of that's hard to come back from, man.
Bro.
That is so mentally hard to come back from that I think that that might be the end of the New Orleans Saints as we've seen them. Yeah.
I don't know about that. I put my money on them coming back for one more year.
I think it all depends on what Drew Brees does.
But that's what I'm saying. If he comes back for one more year, then I think they can get up there again.
Because I don't think they'll have Teddy Bridgewater next year. I think he's gone.
More than likely.
Yeah, I think he's gone. I think they might trade him. I wouldn't be surprised if they trade him for like a quality wide receiver or a draft pick or something.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, those five games.
Those, that
absolutely. They lost, one of those?
Yeah, 4-1.
4-1 as a starter? And that's nothing to shake a stick at.
Speaking of somebody who's coming back, did you see Fitzgerald again? One more year?
He is coming back.
One more year. Man.
He must have a thing for playing on shitty teams, bro. And I know we got some listeners that are Cardinals fans, and I don't care. I think Larry Fitzgerald is the best wide receiver in the history of the NFL to be cursed to be on the worst team he could ever possibly be on.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't imagine any other wide receiver tolerating the amount of failure that that franchise has handed him year in and year out. Mm-hmm. I mean, could you imagine if he ever ended up in New England?
Maybe he just loves living.
New England might have 8 rings.
Maybe he just loves
living. I just think Larry Fitzgerald is the kind of football player that we will never have again.
No.
But you're not going to find him again.
But who was like him before that? I mean, like, what player do you really know that really stayed like that? Other than maybe Tom Brady.
No, I mean his makeup as a person more than a player. You're not going to find an NFL player like that ever again. Every time he scores, he tosses the ball to a referee. You know what I mean? It's never about him. It's about the team. He gives everything that he has on every down. He respects the game for what it is. He's humble enough to understand what it is. You're not going to find another guy in the league that literally no one can say anything bad about. When are we going to find? I mean, to look at him and then to look at what Antonio Brown is doing. You know what I mean? And we're talking, we're talking about two different planets. I couldn't even call them North and South Pole. Like, they're not even in the same galaxy as far as the way that they conduct themselves. Yeah, just different people. And yet, Antonio Brown almost had a ring. They lost to Green Bay. And has had much more success with his teams than Larry Fitzgerald, other than his Super Bowl appearance and lost to the Steelers. But I don't think Antonio Brown was on that team. No, I think he came after. Because they had Santonio Holmes who they had still at that time. And they ended up letting Santonio Holmes go.
What's his name too? Hines Ward?
Yes. So Brown had not come yet. And I love Larry Fitzgerald, man. Oh yeah, Polamalu, Harrison. Yeah. They didn't have Jerome Bettis. He was already gone. But they had
that was after him.
They didn't have Le'Veon Bell yet either.
They didn't have Bell. I can't think of who they had running back.
Can't remember. I think maybe Willie Parker. Mm. Maybe. And Heath Miller, I think, was their tight end. Yeah. And then that was like Roethlisberger's second year. It was pretty early in his career because his rookie year was the year they beat the Seahawks to win the title.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was his rookie year. But I love Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, I wish that dude all the success in the world. I think he's one of the greatest human beings. Aside from the success he's had on the football field, he's one of the greatest human beings you could probably ever come across.
Maybe
but it's good to see.
Have a better year this year. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know.
Nah, you don't.
They're playing in a tough division, so it's not like anything's going to be handed to them. It's not like they're playing in the AFC East.
No, they have.
Where, you know, two and a half of the teams are garbage. Right. They've got tough matchups week in and week out with teams that are looking to prove themselves. They've got a team still left in the playoffs that's in the division. Mm-hmm. They had two teams just a week ago.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? And the Rams were right at the door. Baltimore kind of helped slam the door when they lost on Monday night to them. However, they came back that next week and blew the Cardinals out. So it's tough to say, but I think he just loves playing the game.
Yeah, probably.
And I think that he is driven to beat Jerry Rice's records.
Yeah, probably. That's what I was thinking.
I think he's very, very motivated. But I don't think that he's the kind of person that wants to do it for anybody else but the Cardinals.
Right.
But the fact that he's even in the neighborhood of beating those records, considering the quarterbacks he's had,
remarkable,
is unbelievable.
That is crazy.
It is unbelievable. I mean, Jerry Rice had Steve Young and Joe Montana, who are both Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Right. Larry Fitzgerald does not ever have. Well, he played with one.
Kurt Warner.
He played with one, and Warner, that was his third stop in the NFL.
Right.
They thought Warner was washed up when he went to Arizona.
Was hating on
you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like Warner had his Hall of Fame career just about cemented.
Yeah, it was already there.
Before he even got to Arizona.
And then he just really
he cemented it by taking the Cardinals to the Super Bowl as their quarterback. He clearly cemented it then. However, I still think had he never played for the Cardinals, he probably still would have got in. And a lot of what got Kurt Warner in my opinion, is just simply his story.
Yeah.
It's an amazing story, and he deserves all that he's ever been given as well.
Yeah,
but
Fitzgerald, though, just...
But other than that, I mean...
The quality of quarterbacks has been...
Horrible. Horrible. I mean, there's quarterbacks he's probably played with that wouldn't start on Clemson's roster right now, that wouldn't start on LSU's roster. You know?
Absolutely not. Exactly.
So
yeah, it's remarkable.
I think he's a great dude. It's glad to see that that he's coming back. I just really wish that somehow something would have shined a little bit better on his career as far as having that team success. But it also just goes to show you that football is the ultimate team sport.
No, exactly. And it happens.
But he will clearly cement Dan Marino as the best player to never win one.
That's what I'm saying. Some greats will just never win.
He's unfortunately going to be on that Mount Rushmore of greats that have never won a title. Him, Dan Marino, Charles Barkley, if you want to cross sports. And all of them have gotten there. All of them have gotten there.
Yeah, that's the worst part.
Barkley's gotten to the finals. Marino got to a Super Bowl. Fitzgerald got to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You were right there, and sometimes it's just not your year. Yeah. So I think that'll be good.
So what are your picks then, real quick?
I think Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And
you going with this Kansas City-San Francisco matchup? Easy matchup? I'm gonna go KC Green Bay. Honestly.
If you're gonna go Green Bay, then I'll go San Francisco just for the sake of having something be different. However, I think that I would rather see Rodgers go up against Mahomes.
Do I see Rodgers win one more?
No. Because I think Aaron Rodgers is a bit of an arrogant prick. He does come off as a bit of an arrogant prick. And I probably come off as a bit of a prick, too, at times. So maybe that's why. Maybe there's just not enough prick, not enough room in this town for the both of us type deal.
I watched
too
much of him, but he doesn't seem like too bad of a dude.
He just seems like he has his moments. And I guess maybe all football players have their moments. I know I have my moments, but it just seems like his moments happen more in front of the camera than other players' moments. Okay. And I also think that he did play a big role in Mike McCarthy getting fired in Green Bay. And that to me, I don't know, I always kind of harbor a little bit about that because they were still a successful football team when Mike McCarthy got fired. Mm-hmm. And sometimes coaches and players run their course, and I get all of that, and that's fine. But I think for the sake of the Super Bowl, I think the shootout would be better if it was Miami or Kansas City and Green Bay.
Oh, yeah. And Green Bay?
Yeah. I think that would be the better matchup because that's the better quarterback duel.
Yeah.
I think that there's a chance that if it's Kansas City-San Francisco, we could see a fairly low-scoring game. And by low, by those terms, I mean like
20s.
20s. Yeah, you know, maybe a 30-27 game.
Yeah, nothing in like the 50s, though.
No, I think that if it were to be Green Bay and Kansas City, you could see like a 41-48 type game.
It's just because defenses come with more energy, man, in
Correct.
The playoffs. Always. It's like it's like they're amped up, another.
And I think that there's a sense of coaching that they don't want to blow it, and that you could throw that right back to Baltimore. They called a game plan that they didn't want to lose the game, but they didn't call a game plan to win it either.
No, yeah, they just playing it conservative.
Played it way too conservative, and that gets you sent home.
Yeah, absolutely.
But side note too on that, I also don't like the idea that Greg Roman and Don Wink Martindale, the offensive and defensive coordinators, got interviewed for other positions as head coaches in their off week. I'm sorry. I don't even care who the teams were. I don't give a shit that it was the Giants. I especially don't give a shit if it's the Browns. Wait your fucking turn. Mm-hmm. You guys should have to wait until the end of the year. If you want a coach that's... I think it's fucked no matter what, though. That's my beef with it. These guys are in the middle of trying to make a run to the Super Bowl, and you fucks are sitting at home with no head coach. Wait your turn.
Yeah, I mean, it's not offseason yet.
When Greg Roman's season is over, when Wink Martindale's season is over, that's when you can talk to them. Mm-hmm. Until then, we got something else we're trying to do over here. Clearly, you guys don't do it good enough, or else you'd be in the same position.
Right.
Leave us alone until we determine whether or not our season is continuing or not. Once that's been had, then you can talk to him.
Yeah.
And if you like him that much that you want to interview him, maybe you're willing to wait.
Yeah.
If he's your first choice, you're willing to wait. Mm-hmm. If he's not your first choice, then go interview somebody else. And if you like them, then hire them. Period.
Not get you.
It just valid argument. I don't like it. I think it's failed. It's flawed. And then on top of it all, they're supposed to be interviewing at least one minority candidate based on the Rooney Rule, and none of those fucking teams did it. Cleveland didn't interview a minority. Washington hired a minority, but I don't even know that they interviewed anybody else. The Carolina Panthers did not hire a minority coach.
No.
You know what I mean? Eric Bieniemy is in Kansas City as their offensive coordinator, who's done an even better job with that offense than Matt Nagy did with them. And Matt Nagy got hired by the Browns. Eric Bieniemy is sitting here with no head coaching interviews.
Right.
Are you serious?
Yeah, just like that. What's the name for the Niners too?
Saw something. Saleh?
Yeah.
Well, the beef with that though is
something about Sherman put out a
so Richard Sherman like got
I didn't okay. get into it too much.
Okay, so Robert Saleh is the defensive coordinator of the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay.
And he interviewed for the Cleveland Browns position. And the offensive coordinator of the Vikings, Matt Stefanski, mm-hmm. I keep wanting to say it's like Stefanowski, it's not, it's too many yeah. letters. Stefanski, he is the offensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings. Well, Robert Saleh's defense was able to shut down Stefanski's offense, and therefore Richard Sherman feels like that should have been the determining factor in whether or not who's the better candidate. But that's not the case.
Offensive coordinator to a defense coordinator, so it doesn't really
correct.
Make sense.
And what was the problem with Cleveland this year? Their offense. Yeah, they have Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, and they could not get the job done to even get themselves into a wild card spot. So do you really think that they're worried about their defense right now? Right. Or do you think they're worried about the millions of dollars they have tied up in this offense cannot get the job done?
No, I get you. I didn't read up too much on that. So I saw something that
And the thing about it, too, is there's nothing to be butthurt about. He got interviewed, and just because his defense was able to shut down Stefanski's offense, that doesn't mean that Robert Saleh knows what he's going to be able to do with Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham Jr., and Jarvis Landry.
I mean, I don't think that really determines.
And quite honestly, I don't know that that's that appealing of a job in the first place.
No, I would rather probably stay in San Francisco if I was him.
At this moment in time, absolutely.
On the way to a Super Bowl?
On the way to a Super Bowl, potentially, and you have no risk of losing your job at this moment. And that's the thing, too. Okay, I hate to keep going back to you know, my team, but at the same time, I don't even know that Greg Roman and Martindale were even interested in the jobs that they interviewed for.
Then that's on them, then, if they
interview. I agree. So, but the thing is for me, if I'm Baltimore, because they have to give permission. So every coach that was still on a roster and still in the playoffs, their teams had to give the other teams permission to talk to them. If I'm the head coach, here's my stance. Look, congratulations on getting our team to a point where you are being considered for head coaching positions in other cities at this moment in time. It is one of 32 jobs in the entire world. Mm-hmm. One of 32. That's it. It is a prime position. It is a lifelong goal for coaches. I understand all of that. However, we're not done here. Mm-hmm. The job is not completed yet. So therefore, I will give permission for them to talk to you after your season is over.
Yeah.
I don't see why if you're Greg Roman or you're Martindale or you're Saleh, if that's the stance the 49ers decided to take, or you're Stefanski, if that's the stance that the Minnesota Vikings decided to take, I don't know why you would not be able to respect that.
Yeah, but do you really think I don't know if it really affects them that much, though.
Their focus, I mean? But here's the thing. You have to prep. You have to prep for those interviews.
So I know I can break
And the biggest thing, too, is in that Niners preparation, you're now going and looking at another team's roster and telling their owner how you're going to be successful with their roster. Mm-hmm. You still got a job to do over here to be successful with the current paycheck you're collecting.
No, yeah, I get what you're saying.
I don't like it. Personally, I don't like it. And not
it's just the way they
win, loss, whatever, however last weekend played out, I still wouldn't like it.
No, I get you.
Because Salah interviewed and they won, and I still don't like it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Stefanski interviewed and lost, and I still don't like it. You know, it just doesn't make any sense to me. There's no reason why they can't wait until the off season. But yes, I do think Kansas City Green Bay would make a better Super Bowl. Real quick, did you see that they announced some of the awards today?
No, for the NFL?
Yes.
I did not see that.
Yes.
So, MVP, I'm guessing.
Lamar. Jackson,
of course.
He got Offensive Player of the Year, too.
That makes sense.
Over Christian McCaffrey, though. Remember, we talked about this earlier in the year, and I gave reasonings why I would understand why they would do that.
3,000 and 1,000, you know what I mean?
Well, 3,000 and 1,200.
Well, we're not going into details, but...
3,000 and 1,200.
3,000 and 1,000.
I think that as soon as he broke Michael Vick's rushing record,
it turned into a different story.
It became an entirely different story. I think when Baltimore went 14-2, it became an entirely different story.
We've never seen.
But I think you might see it again.
So maybe if they keep running the offense like that, it's possible.
I definitely think you might see. I think you might see a 4,000-1,000 season.
Okay, you're getting a little up there now.
And the only reason why I say that is because I think he's going to improve even more in the passing game.
See, maybe they get some better receivers out there.
I don't doubt it.
Like they couldn't catch a cold. So we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. But I mean, hey, anything's possible. Nobody would have
looked like they couldn't catch themselves. Shit. I mean,
exactly.
Couldn't. Oh man, I couldn't believe it.
No. I mean, I'm not.
And with all of that said.
You know what I mean? Like McCaffrey had an awesome year, but
yeah, but they fizzled out, and I think that that's why. And he had a couple of games where he kind of disappeared a little bit. I think if they wouldn't have fired their head coach,
they would have made the playoffs.
I think the fact that they fired their head coach says a lot when it comes to the players.
And he was already hired before the season was even
pretty much
was even over. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So, yeah. But, I don't think he landed in the best possible place.
No.
But I think he took the first offer that he got.
Maybe.
I would have rather have seen Ron Rivera in New York than in Washington.
Giants, yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. But, look, he took what he wants, so we'll see how he does. Maybe he could turn it around. Maybe Washington.
I would have rather have seen him in Dallas.
Yeah, but who knows if he was.
What he could have done with the defense is what I would have liked. No, Jerry Jones is.
Jerry Jones is very, very.
I don't know. I don't see Jerry Jones hiring a minority head coach personally.
I think he had his target already set. So, but yeah, that too.
I just don't see it. I don't see Jerry Jones hiring a minority head coach. So, you could call it what you want. I'm not flat out calling the man a racist.
No, but.
But I think that there are people in this world who do believe that we all have our place.
Ways. Exactly.
And whether you want to call that racist or not, I'm not going to try to read too much into that, but I don't see that as happening. Other award was Stephon Gilmore got defensive player of the year. Then they even broke it down because so
who was in the running for that? Was it him?
Him, Tyrann Mathieu.
Nick Bosa up there?
I think Nick Bosa was up there. He's going to get defensive rookie of the year. I don't think the NFL will ever give defensive rookie of the year to defensive player of the year. No. However, they have year. It has happened in back to back years. Well, Luke Kuechly
won. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
Did you see that?
I did. Defensive rookie of the year, and then the next year he won defensive player of the year.
Awesome.
So I think that's more fitting because I do think that the NFL. With the writers, do try to spread those awards out.
I
do feel like
they absolutely dominate.
Well, I think that's why you have to give Lamar Offensive Player of the Year and, you know, the MVP.
Right, but if he would have did that his rookie year, he wouldn't have got. What do you think he would have got? Offensive Player of the Year plus Offensive Rookie Player of the Year. You know what I mean? I don't think they would have gave him both.
But I don't think he would have got MVP.
I don't think he would have got MVP even if he did. Well, I don't know. How could you not, right? And that's what I don't like about awards, too.
Because there's still politics.
Yeah, exactly.
Still politics,
it's still all just voting.
There's still politics.
It's about how
anytime you talk about opinion.
About you.
And ultimately, the saddest part about it is they gave those two awards to somebody who could give a shit about them.
Yeah.
He is hated right now.
Probably broke one already.
Like he ain't get him yet. He got to wait till the NFL honors thing the night before the Super Bowl.
Sent him a replica one in the mail.
Well, his Heisman's still in a box.
So we'll see.
So that shows you how much he cares about individual awards.
But, so Stephon Gilmore, they're breaking down what's that.
Yeah, so okay, so Stephon Gilmore got Defensive Player of the Year, but what the what they also did is they broke it up into conferences. So
like NFC, AFC?
Yeah, so like AFC Defensive Player of the Year was Stephon. Well, in a lower level. I don't think they're actual awards. I think it was just like...
like maybe that was a runner-up? Like the actual person that won it, and they had an AFC best...
Yes, side note, because it just came on. Have you seen the Morbius trailer?
No.
You all, okay, we got to talk about that next week. You can see it. You're familiar with the character Morbius? No. He's the vampire villain in Marvel Comics? He appears in some of the Spider-Man comics. I bet if you saw a picture of his comic book version, you'd know who I'm talking about.
He doesn't look like a Dracula-like type character, does he?
He's the one with the... like a
funky cape.
He's got the big-ass collar on his cape, and he's got like that super crew cut.
Sounds familiar.
Hang on, let me pull up the images. This is what we do on Where Was I Going With This. We get caught up in some way crazy side shit.
Is it supposed to be like a horror type movie? Like?
Kind of. That's Morbius.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So we'll talk about
games. I remember him in one of the games.
Yeah, and you got to watch the trailer, and we'll talk about that next week because there's some theories to that, and I know Steve will enjoy that.
Yeah, we'll talk about talk about some Marvel next.
And week. They cast Jared Leto.
But so who is this AFC player?
Okay, so the AFC player for Defensive Player of the Year was Stephon Gilmore. NFC was Chandler Jones.
Right. Yeah, NFC. Chandler Jones?
Chandler Jones, they gave it to him in the NFC, which is really? Kind of, yeah.
But he killed it, though.
19 and a half sacks on a shitty team, on a 5-10-1 team.
Even though that defense on paper should probably be a lot better than they played.
That defense on paper is better, but only because that defense on paper gets simulated in your mind for 16 games. Patrick Peterson missed 6.
No, I get that part.
Dumbass.
He did start getting it back, though. Like he started.
Yeah, but fuck, you hurt that team so badly.
Especially the first 6 games.
The biggest thing about him that bothers me is you sat there and bitched about how you wanted to be traded, then totally backtracked and talked about how you're going to be here and you're all happy for this, that, and the other. And then you turn around and you get yourself fucking suspended for 6 games. And the saddest part about it is it would have only been 4 had you not actively did something to mask it, and therefore that got you an additional 2. Yeah. You fucking retard. And then the cherry on the fucking top is that you went to the Cardinals and asked them to restructure your fucking contract so the suspension didn't cost you as much money? How fucking selfish can you be, bro? Yeah. What did you need? You need another fucking car?
Yes, I'm...
Because I know a guy that works at the shop that all his cars get done at, and you don't need another fucking car, bro. Like, you got enough fucking money... If this doesn't teach you, you know what I mean? Like, come on, bro. You hurt that team badly.
Yeah.
Badly. In a coach that was a rookie, in a quarterback that's a rookie. If there's anything that they're trying to depend on, it's their fucking perennial Pro Bowl corner to lock down one side of the field, and they couldn't even get that.
No. Nope. Not until after, you know, week 7. So.
Not until after that season was long fucking over.
Yeah, nah, yeah.
Long over with.
But... That's well deserving because he had a hell of a year.
Though. I think Chandler Jones is a great player.
He's a great player. Great player. So as long as they keep him,
as long as they keep him and nobody wants to trade for him or somehow convince him to leave, because that dude would wreck some shit on any other defense. Yeah. I would love to see him in Baltimore.
With somebody crazy like a Clowney or. A J.J. Watt or a T.J. Watt.
Oh, yeah. It would be horrible. You know what I mean? It would be horrible. Because he's much improved at stopping the run, too, now.
Oh, absolutely.
When he first came into the league, he was a pure pass rusher. Yeah. Pure pass rusher. He's got a lot better at stopping the run. So he's doing really, really well.
Where the ball's going.
So. Yeah, I like that. Coach of the Year for the AFC, they gave to John Harbaugh. Coach of the Year for the NFC, they gave to Kyle Shanahan. But I don't know if that's actually how they're going to name the awards when it goes down or comes out. I think that that's just what they were doing at that time.
Coach of the Year.
They haven't announced it yet.
Oh, okay, got it.
I think it's going to be John Harbaugh.
Yeah. Probably.
Because what the predictions for that team, the beginning of the year, I think Kyle Shanahan, it wouldn't surprise me if he won. No. But
I think overall just
what I think the biggest thing about Coach of the Year is expectation to reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Baltimore had much lower expectations in the eyes of the media and the fans than San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I think San Francisco was expected to be
I think their defense a good was definitely team. Expected to
absolutely.
Be that good.
Their absolutely. Offense was a... Especially with that front four.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Which won't be the same, I don't think. I don't think they're going to be able to keep all of them.
No, they're going to play themselves out of
Oh, yeah, they're going to play themselves out of it. They've
played themselves out of it at this point.
So yep. So in that case, it might be nice if they win a Super Bowl just be so that, you know, it wasn't all for naught before they leave. But I do feel like if you win the Super Bowl, it makes it easier to leave. I do. I think it makes it easier to leave if you win the Super Bowl, especially in the NFL.
Because you don't, it's like a chapter closed.
Correct. You know, correct. It's like a team goal like achieved. And in the NFL, though, I think the hardest thing to do is to repeat.
I think that's the hardest thing, is if you get there and then you lose, then it's like, damn, I got
to
get there.
Yeah, you got to try to get back. Yeah, you got to try to get back.
It's like unfinished business. If you just never were even close, then it's like, oh, whatever, we'll go here, go there, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yep. I feel you.
Makes it harder.
Real quick, we got a little bit of time left. Did you hear about the Houston Astros?
Yeah, I was seeing a little bit about that cheating scandal.
Yeah, so we talked about it. I want to say it was like 3 episodes ago, and we had brought it up a little bit because that was when it finally all got blown out of proportion. And the MLB has come back with their investigation and found some serious, serious shit about it. To the point that the general manager knew about it, the manager of the team knew about it.
They claimed they didn't, but the GM, I saw he claimed he didn't.
The GM claimed he didn't, but I know. The manager did admit to knowing and admitted to also attempting to stop it, but clearly did not try hard enough.
Right.
So basically what it was is they had Alex Cora, who was their bench coach. He was the mastermind of all of it. He just got fired by the Red Sox for his involvement.
Right.
And the Red Sox basically trying to get ahead of whatever punishment he was going to get anyway, because he's going to get a nasty punishment.
Just waiting on him,
The MLB did not come down on any players.
No, I saw that.
Which is surprising.
They said it'd be a little too hard.
They did. However, one player that I don't think it's going to be too hard to come down on if they decide to would be Carlos Beltran, who is now the manager of the Mets, because he was a player on that Houston team at that time and is also known in the league for being a very good natural sign stealer, basically standing at second base, looking in, at which I guess in the game of baseball, I never really played baseball. I think there's, first of all, way too many unwritten rules in baseball, and it's very pansy-like at times for me. But I guess the idea behind it is if you're good at stealing signs just by using your brain and using your eyes and you're smart enough to figure it out, it's respected. I think that scene is probably no different than if you're good enough as a quarterback to see and read a defense, because it's right there in your face, and you know what formation that they're in, and you can still execute.
Right. Why is audibles a thing?
Correct.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, I guess with this, it's a bit different because they were using technology. So what they had is a live feed into their dugout, which they're not supposed to have. They're only allowed to have a replay feed, which is delayed.
Yeah, so they were just watching
and correct. Live. And AJ Hinch, who was their manager, admitted to trying to get that feed taken away and was not successful at it, which means he didn't try hard enough.
Right, exactly. Like, what? You're the manager.
And when you're winning, how hard did you really
try? Right, exactly.
Okay.
Yes, but that way.
So what happened is after they found that out, he got suspended for a year. The GM got suspended for a year. They lost 2 first-round draft picks. They lost two years.
Right? For the next
well,
2 years.
Yeah, they lost the first round for 2 straight years, a second round for 2 straight years. So a total of 4 draft picks. And then after they got suspended for the year, the owner of the manager of the Astros came out and fired AJ Hinch and fired the general manager. So they're in a precarious position with spring training around the corner. And then a day later, the Red Sox fired Alex Cora, who ironically went from the 2017 Astros to the 2018 Red Sox and won World Series back-to-back with both teams. Wonder why. The most telling thing to me about it, though, is when you look at the home and away batting averages of some of the biggest players, because you got to remember, 2017 Jose Altuve won the MVP. This guy is a whopping like 5'7". Mm-hmm. Small guy, right, plays shortstop.
Not a slugger by any means.
By any stretch of the imagination, but the dude can hit.
Right.
But when you look at his home and away split, I was listening to it on sports radio this morning. He was batting 497 at home.
Jeez, that's
497. I don't even know that you could bat that in a video game.
You know what I mean?
Like, right?
That's crazy.
At home. He was batting in the low twos on the road.
Huge difference.
Another player on the team, I think his name was Brian McCann. He was batting 348 at home, which sounds above average, right, but still realistic,
yeah,
right?
Like
and
awesome.
Then you look at his batting average on the road, and it was a whopping 143.
Ooh. Yeah, that's a huge discrepancy.
And what they were doing is that they were looking at the feed, seeing the catcher's fingers, and then they would bang a trash can.
Yeah, so they would know what pitch was coming.
But curve to ball, the point where a certain number of bangs... up.
Yeah,
and they would change the way that they would bang. So, you know, one time it was a fastball, two times it was an off-speed pitch, right, or whatever it may be, and then they would switch it up. But the saddest part about it is there was a lot of teams in the MLB that knew, and only one manager who was willing to call them out on it.
Well, so all these teams that are getting cheated against are knowingly just...
A lot of them were onto it, but none of them were willing to say anything.
Well, I guess if you don't have
and
no
put their name up
proof,
against it.
Yeah,
I mean, correct.
If you're just, you know, throwing out allegations, then it kind of makes you look like a sore loser.
It does.
So I understand that part. Nobody wants to be that guy, but I guess this
But
guy,
nobody in those offices were willing to be like, yo, something's up,
look into this,
watch the tape, figure something out.
You got
out.
Enough staff around you that you could find somebody like, hey, bro.
We had regular human beings who were able to watch it that are just sports fans and were able to hear those trash can bangs. Like, what is that?
Especially if you're at a game, I'm sure it's a lot easier to figure out. Like, every
got to be able to,
you know, every other pitch or something, somebody's banging in the dugout.
Correct.
Like, what is that? You know what I mean? Come on.
Side note, though,
and then
which
a
is,
hit happens.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's weird.
And the worst part about it is it resulted in two World Series titles.
They didn't do nothing about those, though.
No, they haven't. They've done nothing. They haven't vacated the MVP. They're not going to do anything about it. It's baseball.
Yeah,
they never do anything to that measurement.
I don't think any professional sports has really ever done something like that.
Only college.
Sure. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, any professional. Only college.
I don't think any pro sports have vacated anything.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't think they've vacated anything. I do find it a bit light considering what they've done to Pete Rose. Pete Rose never really cheated.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what I don't get about that, though. Is like,
and they look at... They dog him every fucking chance they get.
Yeah, yeah.
And I still stand by the fact, and I wasn't even old enough to watch Pete Rose play, but I don't see that him betting on his own team was so egregious to the point where you cannot put that man in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah. I mean, you guys are just full-on steroid users.
You've got the Black Sox in the early 1900s who were literally betting to try to throw the World Series. They were trying to lose the World Series to win buckets of money in the early 1900s. They're not giving, you know what I mean? They're not doing anything about that. It just seems like the punishment that was given to Rose
but
being a lifetime ban seems a bit egregious now, looking back
all
on
like
all the other cheating scandals that have happened.
All the consequences and the justice in professional sports, though, all of them are kind of bad at it, man. Like, when it comes to handing out punishments on based on this and that, you know what I mean? Like, the NFL is horrible.
Yeah.
The MLB ain't much better because they like to sweep a lot of shit under the rug.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe the NBA, and even there's a lot of their fines and stuff like that, you know, even going back to David Stern days, you know, with all the rules he started implementing, wearing ties and all this to games.
Which they don't do anymore.
You know, which they don't do anymore. So it's just like,
I think the NFL comes off very much like
stuff,
a...
You know what I mean? Like, it's just weird.
Like a parent.
Yeah, definitely. But then it's like, I don't know,
because with the NFL, you'll do something and then you'll get 8 weeks and then you'll go appeal it to the commissioner and then you end up with four.
Right,
nigga,
exactly.
You should have just gave me four in the first place.
Exactly.
You wasted everybody's time.
And then they have who was it that they tried to suspend? But their drug suspensions are just crazy too, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they don't make any sense.
Yeah,
oh, speaking of that, did you see that they came out again, the NFL, and have stated that there's not enough scientific evidence to back them changing their policies on CBD and medical marijuana usage, that there's not enough medical science?
It's
to
bogus,
me, the NFL,
bogus.
They're being influenced a little bit too much.
Industry,
yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
How much money probably think they make off the NFL handing out all these fucking pain pills?
Exactly. To their own employees, in a sense.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So it's a big, big, big industry.
Correct.
Big industry.
And then you see a lot of these players that are quitting early. Calvin Johnson, what's he doing right now? He runs his own medical marijuana company. Exactly. And it's partly because the injuries he was sustaining, they kept trying to dump pills down his throat.
They're severe, and they try to just drug you up.
Correct. And to me,
chemicals, man.
To me, you're already playing a sport where you take shots to the head that will ultimately, whether you like it or not, they will ultimately affect you.
Yeah, they're going to hurt you. Yeah.
Later on in life, at some point in time, and yet you're being handed pills that will also affect your brain in ways that you don't know until it's too late.
Yeah.
As CTE, well as
other organs.
Correct. You know what I mean? Correct. So. CTE, you don't know about it until it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Pain pills, you don't know about it until you're already addicted.
Addicted at that point, yeah. And now you're worrying about how to fix it when you didn't even know you had a problem. You know what I mean? You thought this was supposed to fix another problem, and now you got two problems.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
So what do you do?
Yeah. It's a whole bucket of issues.
And yet Goodell is not progressive enough to think that what's less harmful to these players. I mean, quite honestly, I've never understood the idea of them considering medical or recreational marijuana as a performance enhancing drug.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I just don't understand it being on the list of drugs to get in trouble for it trying to enhance your performance.
I don't know how it could ever be considered that.
Yeah,
but
that's what I'm a little lost on.
I think that won't change in the NFL until one of two things happens.
Yeah, I think it'll have to be
federal. I think it would have to. Okay, then one of three things. I think that either 90% of the states have to do it on their own and make it legal.
As far as recreational or just medicinal?
Medicinal.
Okay.
Because I think it has to start with medicinal. If it's going to be looked at in the eyes of a replacement for pills, then we have to talk medicinal first and foremost.
First and foremost.
Okay. Because I don't even think the NBA condones recreational marijuana use, and that's probably one of the most progressive leagues in the world.
Yeah.
So we'll talk strictly medicinal for this purpose. So that's one reason, is if 90% of the states do it. The only other way it happens is if somehow the federal government pulls their head out of their ass and gets big pharma out of their ass,
right,
or exactly, out of their heads that out are up their ass,
yeah.
And decides that they're going to declassify it, change the way it's classified, stop putting it in the same box as heroin and crack cocaine. Same. And these drugs that have destroyed neighborhoods and families and generations of lower middle class and middle class people. Lastly, I think would be if Roger Goodell was no longer the commissioner.
Yeah. No, it's got
so those
go
are
there.
The one of three options, and he's not going anywhere. He just signed another deal within the last year or two. He's definitely not going anywhere.
Not going nowhere, no time soon.
And I don't think any of the owners, as a collective group, are progressive thought process enough to do anything either.
No.
Because let's keep it real.
They're so stuck in
their sport
ways.
That we love is owned by a bunch of old rich white guys.
Yeah, definitely.
That's it.
Definitely.
There's no minority ownership in the NFL. It is just a bunch of old rich white guys, and the way that they think are like typical old rich white guys, you know? And that's a little bit of a shame, especially considering the amount of disconnect that they have from the players that they pay all this money.
Owners, exactly. Insane.
It's crazy to me.
Especially when you compare it to a league like the NBA.
Yeah.
Where they're so progressive when it comes to that.
I even think a sport like soccer.
No, yeah, exactly.
I think the coaches are coaches, managers, owners are much more in tune.
It's a much massive sport when it comes to worldwide.
It is.
Recognition, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
Around the world, so.
I agree. Lastly, what you got going on this weekend? What are you going to do?
I got work this Saturday, so probably just work, watch those couple games. And
both are on Sunday.
Oh, are they? Okay, no Saturday games?
So not this week.
That works for me, then I could just watch football on Sunday, maybe get a little Red Dead in this weekend.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, I got to play a little more of that. So.
You do. It's a fun game.
Yeah, it's fun.
But it is a game about choice, so keep that in mind.
Yeah, depending on what you do, that may come back later in the story.
That and, like, there's two different endings.
Oh, gotcha.
Based on whether or not you were considered to be like heroic or good, or whether you were considered to be like a bandit. Yeah, so there's a couple of different endings. It's a great game. I've been watching that Mindhunter too. I'll probably try to finish that. I think there's only two seasons.
Yeah, I think so.
I think the third season's supposed to be coming sometime soon. Still no word on the boys. Mm-hmm. I really just want to wait until some more info comes out before we talk about them. You going to go see Bad Boys?
Yeah, I probably will. Probably will go see that. I don't know when. Maybe not opening weekend. Probably.
The I think it's gonna. Yeah, I think it's gonna be very busy. Yeah.
It's gonna be packed. I don't know why.
I think it's gonna be very busy because there's nothing else out. What else is there to fucking go see?
Plus, it's a good movie.
Plus, Bad Boys has always been a good movie.
Yeah, we've been waiting on it.
I mean, the first one still holds its weight. I mean, it comes on TV every now and then. I'll still watch that one. The second one is still great.
3 weeks ago.
Yeah, the second one is really good. So I think that's the other thing about it is just they're good movies.
I actually like the sequel a little better than the first one.
I think that the sequel really is good, better, but I think that the first one is underrated because the first one came out so early, if that makes sense. Technology was a little bit different.
Will Smith
was a lot younger.
Yeah.
Martin Lawrence was much younger. And being that that was the first movie that they did together,
definitely.
You could almost tell that the chemistry built during the filming of that movie.
Yeah.
And the way that they behaved with each other at the beginning of the movie wasn't quite as good as the way they behaved at the end of the movie.
That's why you got to watch that Breakfast Club interview.
Okay.
They talk about how they didn't really like they. I think they said they had talked or maybe had like said what up like a couple times before that.
Yeah, but they never really fucked with each other.
Like actually sit down and have a conversation until they met up to talk about doing the movie.
Basically, okay.
I think it was. I can't remember if it was Will bringing it to him or Martin. No, I think it was Martin bringing it to Will Smith.
Yeah, because he would have been the more known at the time. Yeah. I
mean, Martin was running the game at that point.
Yeah, because did Will have his show, though?
Yeah, he had his show, but even Martin was the bigger sitcom.
Martin was one of the biggest,
you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
Plus all his stand-up he was doing.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So he was running the... I mean, he was Kevin Hart before. Like, Kevin Hart's not even on.
No.
Martin Lawrence's level. He'll go down as one of the best.
And Will still was considered more of the music act at that time than he was really thought of for his acting. You know what I mean? Yeah. Exactly, so. No, I feel you. Yeah, I'll have to watch that.
It's good. It's a little short, 40 minutes, so check that out.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'll watch that. Because the second one, like I was saying,
but yeah,
you could definitely feel that the chemistry was there a lot better. And I also think that both of them were better actors by then at that time, too. Because both of them had a bunch of movies under their belt. Because shortly after Bad Boys was when Will Smith did Independence Day.
Yeah, I think. And then after that, he did Tombstone, right? Shortly after, because that was right around the time of Matrix.
Was it?
Yeah, so maybe he did Tombstone.
Are you thinking Wild Wild West?
Or yeah, that's what it's called. Yeah. Wild Wild West. Yeah, I'd get that and mix it up with the name, but...
That one wasn't very good.
No. But that was right around the time of The Matrix.
Yeah, and Martin, I think, had a few under his belt.
Yeah, because he had a...
Blue Streak.
Yep.
And there was another one he had.
Well, he did Boomerang in the 90s with Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, that's a good movie. That's a good movie.
That's a good movie. And then he was...
You don't fuck a feet, man.
She had hammer time in her shoe. He was doing all the I don't know what other movies he was doing, but I know he was doing like Def Jam.
Well, they had the Def Comedy Jam, so they were doing a lot of that. Yeah, he was huge.
Yeah, man, he was everywhere.
I am excited for that movie, and I like that they even brought back the original I don't know what they call him, the chief?
Yeah,
Captain. That white dude's funny. He makes me laugh. I don't really know much about what this new one's
I haven't really about, read up on though. Too much. I just want to go into it kind of...
Yeah, I kind of want to just go watch it.
Naked, yeah. You know what I mean? Where I don't really know anything about nothing other than what I've seen.
Because I didn't know much about the second one either when I walked into that one and watched that one. But honestly, I don't even know if I saw that one in the theater. I can't remember. But I would like to see this one in the theater. So we might have to link up and try to do that.
Yeah,
And we'll do like a little review on it. So yeah, I think that's it for us, man. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Another week, football's wrapping up, so I'm starting to get to that depressed moment where there's no football on anymore and you gotta wait till September. Yeah, it sucks.
Long break.
And then baseball's coming back, so
yeah.
It's gonna be a long summer.
More cheating scandals.
Yeah, word, right? Right? It's gonna be crazy. And lastly, there's the fight this weekend.
Oh yeah, McGregor, right?
Yeah, McGregor Cerrone. Not sure what I'm gonna do about that. But we'll probably talk about it next week, bring it up. I'm sure we'll at least at the
figure out.
We'll obviously know a winner, but maybe by then, if we didn't watch it live, we'll probably have seen some highlights and some shit by then. So we'll talk about that too. So episode 22 coming at you next week. Look for it. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We obviously always have fun. Thanks for listening. Thanks for Anchor for allowing us to put this on, man. Signing off, man. This is Frank.
This is Devin.
Peace.
Later.